Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, president of Schneps Media, and today, delighted to have our power woman, Nancy Byrne, with us. Nancy is the founding partner of Byrne Prudenti Law Firm, and it is a woman-owned trust and estates elder law firm. And it was established in 1995, so she knows what she's doing. Of course, I use her myself. And founding member of Mediation Solutions, which I do want to talk about because I got divorced through mediation. And many people are not aware of the power of mediation. But Nancy will be talking to us about it. And with all of her years of experience, she's also been recognized as an certified elder lawyer. She was awarded the National Elder Law Foundation Award and accredited by the American Bar Association, and chosen as one of the best lawyers in America for elder law. So recently she was chosen also for a Power Woman of Dan's Papers. And we are so proud to have her here because she is both a trusted friend and a professional of the highest quality. We're lucky to have her. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you, Vicki. Well, I don't know what to say after that introduction. I'm happy to be here as always. Lovely to talk to you.
You know, I wanted to share with our listeners a little bit about your background. Did you have parents who were inspirational? Did somebody inspire you, you know, to go to law school and take that long road that's required to do it? Tell us about how your roots helped you be who you are today.
Sure. Well, yeah, I grew up on Long Island in West Islip is where I went to school. I was the youngest of five girls. It was my parents' second marriage, but there were five of us. And I always really wanted to be a lawyer. But I will tell you that my mom worked. So in 1960, I went to nursery school. People didn't even know what nursery school was back then. My mom was a travel agent. She traveled all over the world. She had worked for the airlines before she was married. And so she was often going off to Paris or to Greece or to some Hawaii. And when I was 13, she sent me on a trip to Europe with a group of students. And so she was really ahead of her time. And my dad worked in the city and traveled on the Long Island Railroad. But he was my greatest supporter. And they were both, you know, always encouraged me to learn, grow, learn, grow, learn.
But that's interesting. I have a granddaughter who is 14 and she's going to be a lawyer. It's as simple as that. I mean, I wanted to be a teacher, as simple as that, you know, because I adored my teacher. Was there a lawyer? What put in your head to be a lawyer?
Well, I actually wanted to be a lawyer because I think in the beginning it was because that was my dad's dream and he was supposed to go to NYU. And in 1948, he got a divorce and won full custody of his two daughters and couldn't go to law school. And always regretted it. And so I was sort of fulfilling a dream and then it became my own.
Well, I know that you are so well respected in what you do. And you've created a new addition kind of to your firm, which is a separate entity. But still, I'd like to talk a little bit about it. And that's mediation, because I know you're very well known as an elder lawyer, but also this connection. And talk to us about what it is to have using mediation. Is it just for marriage, divorce, or is it other things that you do with the mediation?
Yeah, so Mediation Solutions is a whole different company, right? My partners are Gail Prudente, who's my partner in this firm, and Fred Joes, and Allison Joes, and Mike Levine. And Mediation Solution deals with every kind of case. They do a lot of personal injury mediations. They have a lot of former judges and people are really well known in the field. And it really was a call to really expedite and get fairer settlements. When there's a mediated settlement, everyone should be equally unhappy. I guess that's it. And, you know, when you go to court, it's very expensive. And during COVID, we saw the courts were shut down for a period of time. Cases were backlogged and there was a lot of frustration. So even though mediation has been around for a long time, it became a great area to go into because of what happened during COVID. And I don't do those mediations. I'm really just a partner in that firm. I don't actively do mediations.
So you really are talking about your elder law firm, which has been really your baby. You know, you do part of that mediation, but being, I guess, encouraging being a partner. But tell me about your practice and how did you come to be an elder lawyer?
Well, I started the firm in 1988, and really because I had, well, actually, it wasn't 1988. I graduated law school in 88, and I started the firm in 1995. And it was a journey. And I'm sure when we speak to other women, we know that how you got there is not how you expected to go. It was a circuitous path. So I went to law school after I had children. I had a third child while I was in law school. I graduated seventh in my class. My dream was I was going to work at a big law firm in the city. I interviewed at all those firms, but realized I was pregnant, and there was no way I was going to leave those children at home and be able to do that. So I started here on Long Island in a small firm in Riverhead, making a fifth of the pay I could have made in New York City. And I really had to find my own path. And while I was searching, I realized that the traditional path of law, a general practitioner on Long Island, wasn't going to work for me. There was no way to distinguish yourself. A lot of women went into family law, and I did not like that at all. And so, in doing searching, that's the part about learning and growing. I was on the internet saying, what should I do? Where am I going to go? Am I going to leave the law? And through my research, it occurred to me that the demographics were perfect for elder law. So I took whatever money I had and got on a plane and went to a National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys meeting in Denver, Colorado, probably with like the last money in my pocket. And I found my home. I said, oh, I can do this. I can do this. And I started a firm, and I had one room and a part-time secretary.
Wow. Well, that's how you get started. I started with one newspaper in my living room because I had four children. What was I going to do? Punch a clock someplace? And
Exactly.
I couldn't teach anymore because, you know, they have to be there. Well, I had to be there for my children like you, but I also needed a career. And that's how I started the paper with one paper, and now we own 101. And the same thing for you. Tell us where you have all your offices.
So we have four offices. The main office is in Setauket. We have about 33 people in that office. West Hampton, where I now live, we have an office. We have about six people here. We have a New York City office. I was there yesterday. We have about four people there, and then people come back and forth. And then East Hampton, which we opened during the pandemic, we have a satellite office. I was there this week, and I'm usually there one day a week.
Well, I know you've grown as the people go, and I think, you know, you're like me. We go where the people are, you know, where, because people in East Hampton aren't coming to West Hampton, so you might as well be in East Hampton to be able to deal with them. And I'm,
That is true.
yeah.
During the pandemic, we would say, oh, great, you're in East Hampton. We're in West Hampton. And they would say, are you kidding? Well, that's halfway back to the city. They're not coming over the Shinnecock.
It's a, you know, it's something I've learned, and that's why we have offices in so many different places because we've got to be where the people are, and you've done the same thing. You know, I hope you don't mind sharing a little bit. You know, I know your darling Michael passed recently, and coping with losing a partner in life is not easy. I often compare it to the waves of an ocean. Sometimes it knocks you over with the sorrow and sadness, and sometimes then you can stand up again and carry on. How have you been able to cope with losing Michael?
It's probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And it's funny because I'm a trusted estates attorney. And so, it's not uncommon. My clients die. It's very different when it happens to you. It's funny that you use the metaphor of an ocean. I did a TEDx talk in 2016, and part of it was the fact that if you stand on the surf and you just stand there and don't move, you're going to get buried in the undertow, right? Your feet get dug into the sand. So you've either got to jump the wave or you got to dive under it or be destroyed. So it's a matter of riding the surf and figuring out what the next part of your life is.
Well, I think, you know, many people need that advice to know that it can get better. And sometimes, look, you know, my husband's gone 10 years and all of a sudden I'll miss him for something, you know, and you feel that hole in your heart. So, you know, it's normal. And I know you've gotten such great projects going with your firm. And now also there's Can we talk a little bit about the other company, the construction
Of course, it's
company?
my passion right now.
Okay, let's hear about it.
So I became the succession plan for Mike's business. Mike's a builder of homes here on the East End. And so when he died, he probably had more business than he ever had in his life. And so I inherited it. So we just finished about five homes and we're starting five more homes. So we finished what we call Mike's legacy project and Eldeco, which is the business. It's really funny because when I was an elder law attorney and my business was taking off, Mike was reinventing himself and he decided to come out east. And I said, well, you should make universal changes to people's houses so they can age in place. Hence, the company was called Eldeco. And then he got his first job building a house on Dune Road, and he never looked back at the universal adjustments to homes. And neither have I. So now I am now building homes with a tremendous team of people at Eldeco that Mike trained. And I'm really enjoying it. Of course, Mike and I did many real estate deals together over the years and buying and selling and flipping homes.
Well, I know you also have a real estate lawyer. I know I used her for my purchase of my home. You've got it from every angle. You can help people who are buyers.
Yes.
Because it's mostly it's new construction, is that correct?
It's new construction and large renovations. And then we have our clients that are well, that need us. They're a lot of them are second home dwellers. So they need to make sure the house is secure and if they need something, we're there for them. And we do that just for the people who are our existing clients.
So that's like house management when the people are away to come in and make sure the house is safe.
It is, but we encourage them. I was thinking about going into the property management business and have rejected that completely. It's a different animal. So we encourage them to have property managers, but we're that friend. Sometimes we'll have a client call up and say, oh my goodness, my medicine was sent to the wrong house. Can you go there and send it to us? Or I left something in the house, or they have a leak and they want us to go look and then call their property manager for them. Or so we do that as well. So we're really the friend that they can trust.
Well, you're also somebody you could trust in the community for giving back. I know that you're involved with the Cats Women's Hospital. Would you like to share with us what their latest project is? Because I got something in the mail recently.
Yes, so my daughter Britt, who's now the managing partner of Berna Prudente, I'm happy to say, she's on the board for the community board for Katz Institute for Women. And so she's been very, very involved. And February is Women's Heart Healthy Month. So we always light up the building here in West Hampton red. We have speakers and we have a great event happening over at the PAC. West Hampton, we're doing it in conjunction with the West Hampton PAC. And it's an
Don't let them
event.
know PAC is the Performing Arts Center.
Performing Arts Center in West Hampton, yes.
I love
And
that
Britt's
place.
put together with the Katz Institute a tremendous program, and everyone should come. I mean, women's heart health is really important. It impacts all of us. You want to be a power woman, you better take care of your heart in more ways than one.
I believe that. In closing, I just wanted to ask you, what advice would you give other women who are looking to be as successful as you are? What advice could you give to the road and the path to success?
I think the biggest thing is be curious. One of the things I love about you, Vicky, you are curious about everything. Do not close your mind. You don't know where life's going to take you. And it's a sign of intelligence. Be open, be curious, ask questions. Don't presuppose. You don't have to be set in one way. You have to be able to pivot. And the only way you do that is by learning and growing. And you have to do it at every stage of life. Because guess what? I lost my husband and I've had to pivot. You've seen it. And I'm going to have to pivot for the rest of my life. And we all do. And we need to be resilient. And that's to be open and smart and learn to grow.
Well, I think that's the best advice I could hear for a long time. I love it. And this is Nancy Berna, who is an elder award-winning elder lawyer, now reinventing herself to Elderco, a construction company. And who knows what's next, right, Nance?
You
So
don't
this is
know.
us as women. We are curious. And I think a curiosity is the key to enhancing your life. So thank you so much for having this time with me, Nancy Berna. and all of you. This is Victoria Schnepp signing off. Till next time. Bye now.